God's word is seed, and we're on good ground. Hallelujah, we've made it this far. You know, I was thinking about this the other night, and I was just thinking how God says if we'll honor Him, He'll honor us. And one of the greatest ways that God can honor us is revealing Himself and His word to us and making it revelation in our hearts and not just something that's in our heads. And I'm so thankful that God is faithful and that He loves us so much. He told me something the other day, and I can't remember anybody ever saying this. They probably have. It's not what I have got out of this parable. One of the things, it's not how good I can preach or teach or anybody else. I mean, I can have, you can have, TV preachers can have amazing revelation. But that's no good. Not for you. Why? Because he said, it doesn't matter how good I can preach or teach, it's how good you can hear. Because remember, a willing heart makes a hearing ear, and everybody don't have one. Even some Christians, they don't have one. They can't hear anything past salvation. And the scripture that he gave me for that, y'all remember the Jesus, whenever he went to his own hometown, they shut him down. Could you have a better preacher, teacher than him? Absolutely not. He's God in the flesh. He is the Word, right? So, I mean, they shut him down. The Bible says over there, because of their unbelief, they started talking about, oh, he's the carpenter's son, his brothers and sisters, don't they live among us? And the Bible says all he could do there was lay his hands on a few sick folk. Other places, all he had to do was speak the word. Other places, all he had to do, and they are coming out of the woodwork, touching the hem of his garment, being healed. So these people shut down what he could do. Then he took me to the scripture over there, Judas, you got a thief that is stealing from you from the time you start your ministry until you end. Could you have a better preacher, teacher than Jesus? No. How come Judas never changed? Why'd they shut him down when he came to his own hometown? Because they did not have an ear to hear and believe what he told them, right? So let's look at Luke chapter 8. Listen, I need permission to cut y'all this morning. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. Y'all tell the doctors to cut you, don't you? You got problems? Well, God wants to heal us, but how many know sometimes God's got to cut us before he can heal us? Because there's things on the inside of us that is not good for us. And the thing about God is, if he has to cut you, he will. Why? Because he loves you. So here in Luke chapter 8, we're going to start reading for time's sake. In verse 10, this is the explanation of the parable. It says, and he said, talking about Jesus, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground, that's us, amen, are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. And bring forth fruit with what? Patience. You can't ever go past your patience. See, you can have faith, but your patience is what keeps your faith out there. If you come to the end of your faith, you're done. I mean, the end of your patience, you're done. Why? There's nothing to keep your faith out there. You're done. That's it. Listen to verse 15 in the Amplified. He says, but as for that seed in the good soil, these are the people who, hearing the word, hold it fast in a just, noble, virtuous, and worthy heart, and steadily bring forth fruit with patience. Now look at Mark 4, verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Amplified. And those sown on the good well adapted. This is the people you make adjustments all along the way. Y'all not saying nothing. You make adjustments. If you are a pilot, you fly by your instruments or whatever. But how many knows, the whole time you got to be making small little adjustments along the way. He says, the good ground is well-adapted soil, are the ones who hear the word and receive and accept and welcome it and bear fruit, some 30 times as much as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some even 100 times as much. Now look at Hebrews 6. Glory to God. He's good, amen. All the time, he is so good. I quoted this one to you last week, but we're going to read it today. Hebrews 6, we're going to start it for time's sake, verse 10. He says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith in what? And patience. It's not just faith. Who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now listen to the Amplified. For God is not unrighteous to forget or overlook your labor and the love which you have shown for his name's sake in ministering to the needs of the saints, his own consecrated people, as you still do. But we do strongly and earnestly desire for each of you to show the same diligence and sincerity all the way through. This parable, God revealed something to me. Over in, I believe it's Isaiah 61, he said, we are the planting of the Lord. And he's talking about people. God has sowed, if you've been born again, God has sowed his word into you that brought you from death unto life. But now he's got a plan and a purpose, and we have to find out what that is. And our entire life, we're supposed to be growing like a flower or a tree or a vegetable, bringing forth fruit and glory to God. But how many knows, not everybody that gets born again stays the whole way through. According to this parable, only one out of four. How many knows, that's not good odds. But I believe with the Holy Ghost helping us and teaching us and revealing things to us, and I mean, I had no idea there was 7 months worth of stuff in this. It could be a whole year. I don't know. Did y'all? I've read this and seen things I've never seen, heard things I've never heard, and then things that I did know, God's just been like putting it in place to where it's like the puzzle. You can see the whole thing. But there's people that they get born again, and their life, they go through these different types of ground. The thorny ground, the stony ground, and all. I mean, if you've been here any time at all, you've already saw it. There's people, they come, they get born again here, or they get born again somewhere else. They start to church here. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, God's given you this church. You say he's told you to be here. And then how many knows, sometimes it's only months down the road, and they're not here no more. And when you check up on them, it's not because they're going to church somewhere else. So it's not just we take the word and put it in our hearts and bring forth a car or a house. And those things are in the plan of God. But it's our entire lives too. And he says there in the Amplified, he says, all the way through in realizing and enjoying the full assurance. Now this is the fruit and development of your hope until the end. Hope is confident expectation. In order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards. How many knows being a Christian ain't for the lazy? No. But imitators, behaving as do those who through faith, by their leaning of the entire personality on God and Christ, and absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, and by practice of patient endurance. Did y'all hear that? By practice of patient endurance and waiting are now inheriting the promises. Now, Beth put on the screen. Well, never mind. We're right here. Verse, flip over to chapter 11. Most of us could quote this, but I want us to see it. Verse 6, it says, but without what? Not everybody has it. Y'all better hear what I'm telling you. The Bible says, and I believe it's Luke 18, when Jesus comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you have it beyond your salvation. And we need it in every area of life. If we're going to bring forth fruit for God. It says, but without faith, it is impossible. Not that you might, it's impossible. So everything Jesus himself done and said and all of that and everything, he did it by faith. How do I know that? Because the Bible says he always did those things that are pleasing to the Father. He says, but without faith is it impossible to please him, talking about God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now look at verse 1. Because some people, they don't know what faith is. And I mean, we're ministering all over the world. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. He says, now faith is the assurance. It is the knowing that I know on the inside of me. It says the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. Confidently expect. If you're not confidently expecting, you cannot be in faith. If you see it, you cannot believe for it. It's for the things you cannot see. He says, for being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality, that they are real. It says, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed unto the senses, or you could say the five physical senses. Now, the word patience, when you look it up in several different places, it means endurance. I told you last week, for me, the word endurance don't really do much for me. For some reason, when I think endurance, the first place my brain goes is like a boxer that's training. They run, they jump rope, they hit the bag, you know, all this stuff. But the one that does it for me, and it means it is impatience too, is the word perseverance. That one just gets it for me. I can get it like that. The Webster's Dictionary says the word perseverance means to persist in any purpose or idea, to strive in spite of difficulties or obstacles. The word persevering, because it didn't have the word perseverance, the word persevering in the New Webster's Dictionary says constant in purpose steadfastness. This is my definition. Stick with something until it's done. I don't stop or change, period. That's the end of it. You just keep on keeping on. Now, if you got your Bible, let's look at James chapter 1. I think this might be where we left off last week. Verse 1, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I remember Scotty did a message one time, and he said, my brethren, count it all, woohoo! Y'all remember that one? Guess what happened right after that? Me, my mama, my sister, some of her kids and everything, and Scotty, we're out on the pontoon on Gunnersville Lake. This was right after that message of, woohoo! We're out on our pontoon in Gunnersville Lake, not too far from the dam, and we're headed in, and guess what happens? I don't know, but we just stopped. Something happened to the motor, you know, and my nephews, you know, they're pretty big boys or whatever, so some of them jumped out the boat and tied the rope around them. They're trying to swim to this pole out there that eagle stays up there on that nest or whatever, to wrap it around that pole because we're drifting back toward the dam. And I'm sitting out there, and Mom, she said, I guess we got to do what Scotty said. Woohoo! That's what it means. But in order to do this, you must have mind renewal. You must have it. Because our flesh, most of the time, just automatically thinks, oh, God, are you serious again? Because you can go through a lot of stuff. But he said, here, count it all joy. Why? Because you know something. So you got to get your mind renewed to this. These things, God doesn't intend them to destroy you. But without them, you will never bring forth fruit 100-fold, 30 or 60. Why? Because without patience, you can't. I mean, as the Bible says, God is the God of patience. Another place it says, by your patience, you possess your own soul. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That means temptations, trials, tests. Knowing this, you got to know something, that the trying of your faith, it's not you don't have it. It's when you have it, it must be tried. Y'all remember over there whenever Jesus was talking to Timothy? And he told him, he said, I see the same unfeigned faith in you that I saw in your mother. I think her name was Lois or what I mean, your grandmother. The word unfeigned, the word feigned means not real. the word is not real. How many knows there's a lot of people in the body, and I have been there, done this. Thought I was in faith of God, come to find out really I wasn't. How many knows that sometimes you can think you're in faith, but you're not? When you think about it, how does it make you, how do you feel inside about it? When you say that it's coming or whatever it is, just like I say, have y'all told y'all lately that my brother's home? Hello, have I told y'all lately? Yeah, I'm going to tell you again. I'm going to tell you next week, and I'm going to tell you tomorrow. How long am I going to tell you? Till you can see him manifest here. Why? Because I am in the faith of God. And every time I think about it and every time I say it, it brings a confident knowing on the inside of me, and it brings joy. Sometimes I say it and I just sit there and laugh. So the thing, though, that is when it's feigned, when it's not real, you can say it and there's something just right down in here. Your own spirit and the Holy Ghost lives in there. But it scratches you. Or you got a little something. That's because it's not real. If you're going to have faith of God, you must have the word on it, right? So he says here that the trying of your faith, it works patience. The trying of your faith, the test that you're in when you're believing God, when you're believing God for his promises that he's already said are yours, he says it worketh patience. But notice what it says. But let... Oh, y'all not saying nothing. I think I feel Ron Carpenter about to come out here. I was listening to him tonight, last night while I went to sleep, so he might come out a little. It says, but let. If I have to let something, that means I can stop it. But let patience have her perfect work. Why? It's going to do you good. He says that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now listen to it in the Amplified. It says, consider it, verse 2, consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Didn't Jesus say, didn't the word say, I think in chapter 10, but anyway, over there he says, with every temptation, God would make a way of escape. Now, some Christians quote that verse over there and they say, God said he won't put any more on you than you can bear. That is not what that says. Don't make us go read it. It says he will not allow any more to come on you than you are able to bear, but will, with the temptation, what? Make a way of escape. What is the way of escape? Faith. Every time. Y'all not saying nothing. Every time. He says, encounter any sort or fall into various temptations, be assured and understand that the trial and proving. There's a scripture over there, I think it's 1 Peter, I don't know, chapter 1, I forget what verse or whatever now, but he talks about how the trying of our faith, though it is much more precious than gold, tried in the fire, right? How many knows faith is precious to God? There's nothing more precious to him than you believe him, than we trust him, right? So while you're in these things, guess what's happening? I'm reminded of Scotty one time. We was going through it. The poor man, he goes through it all the time. He's gone through it ever since he got saved. And all of us have. But I have never known anybody in the flesh, physically, that has more pressure than that man. Now, I'm sure they are. I just don't know him. He gets it on every side. And while he's getting it on every side at work, sometimes he comes in and he gets it when he gets there. Through me. If I'm not prayed up. But these things, the trying of your faith, you got impurities on you. Oh, y'all not saying nothing. And I'm reminded one time we're going through this trial, and we did garage door. He did garage doors on credit. You know, you pay in 30 days or whatever. They let you have the garage doors that you order. You go put them in, and in 30 days, you pay your bill at the end of that. Well, he's going through this and everything, and that's not working no more. And God tells him, he said, I am kicking the crutches out from under you, all the things that you've been trusted in, but you didn't know it. See, it's okay when we all run around, woo, thank you, Jesus, I just love the Lord, I just trust the Lord. And then, bam, your husband comes in, he says, I want a divorce. Y'all not saying nothing. You get a phone call, your kid's in jail. What happened to that? Woo! Thank you, Jesus. What happened? What happened to your trust? What happened to your confidence? What happened to your faith that you're believing God for your kids and then you get a phone call that they're in jail? What happened? I thought you really believed it. See, and when you can do that and still praise Him and still believe that, this is burning impurities off of you like they put gold and silver in the fire. Why? Because when it comes out of the ground, it's not pure. It's got impurities on it. They call it dross. So when they put it in the fire... Over in Jeremiah, have y'all read the story about the potter's wheel? Can you just imagine, D? I sit down on a wheel, and he just starts spinning and spinning and spinning. Why does he do that? Sometimes you get broken, or he breaks you, but he says, I can make the clay all over again. But how many knows it's a process, and it don't always feel good. That's why everybody don't do it. That's why everybody won't go through it. That's why everybody won't have patience and endure it. Because it doesn't feel good. Most of the time, it doesn't look good. It looks contrary to everything that you got on the inside of the you that you're believing God for. But hang on, baby. You're being purified. Amen? So whenever your faith comes forth, it is pure faith in God and nothing and nobody else. But he says there, verse 3, be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. He says, but let endurance, say let it, but let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play, and that is usually longer than you want it to, and do a thorough work. So that you, not to harm you on God's part, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking nothing. Brother Brad used to tell us this, I remember. He was talking about how, and he used the scripture over there where the Apostle Paul, I think it's what, 1 Corinthians 3, him and Apollos, he said, "Thou have laid the foundation," right? And another man comes and he builds on. Brother Brad used to tell us, he would say, be careful how you build. The foundation is Jesus. You get born again, and he's your rock, and he's your foundation. Be careful how and what you build on this. Why? Because when you're building a house or any kind of building or anything, I mean, unless you're throwing up a chicken coop or something, you got to have a foundation, and you got to dig deep, baby. The higher the building is going to be, the deeper you got to go. See, Sandy, what I'm believing God for, my brother, this big. This is God's word versus the United States of America. You know how long this might take? Oh, y'all not saying nothing. Say something got to change in the laws. God's got to speak to somebody that's higher up. Why? Because the prison guards can't down there, can't just turn him loose. God said, turn you loose, Nash. There you go. No, they'd be in jail theirself. So this is going to be a process. Whenever you're going to believe God big, you better be prepared to wait long. Y'all not saying nothing. And I'm not saying you'll have to. But if you're not prepared when you start to let this have its perfect work on the inside of you, why? You don't get 30-fold, you get 100. You don't get 60-fold, you get 100. Why? You have let it work on the inside of you. But I can't tell you how many people, I've even done it myself. I can't tell you how many people over the years that I have run into or that has come through this house and they have quit. Quit on God, quit on His Word, quit on church, quit on believing whatever it was they started out believing for. Why? Some of them they don't know and some of them they won't endure. They won't let this patience work, endurance, and steadfast. Why? Because God don't want us lacking anything. God wants us getting 100. He promised 100, didn't He? By His stripes ye were healed. Not, you're partially healed. Jesus took upon Himself poverty that I might be made rich. Not my needs just met, but rich. And a lot of the church, I'm telling you, that word just bothers them. I like it pretty good, dude. Pretty good. I tried broken. I just don't like it. I can pray. I can praise God. But it's hard for me to help you if I'm having to believe God for my light bill and I'm just barely scraping by. And I am supposed to be blessed to be a blessing. But there's something got to work on the inside of me. Y'all not saying nothing. There's something got to work on the inside of you. Let me put my glasses back on. I got to go in here. Because I'm about to get ahead of myself. Woo! I can feel it. Feeling that James Brown song again. I'm telling you, three or four weeks, the anointing that I have been under is absolutely addicting. I mean addicting. And you know why? One, I have my own personal relationship with God. But number two, because of y'all. Why? What I can say and will say and do is greatly affected by the hearers. The scriptures I just quoted about Jesus himself, when they shut him down, he couldn't do nothing beyond what they could believe for. Well, that tells me y'all are coming in here ready, willing, and believing God. Amen? And he is showing up. I don't even want to let Monty have his turn next week. Let's see where we are here. He says, so that you be fully, perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. Now, I'm going to tell you what I wrote down here. Let patience work. You got to let it work. You don't feel like letting it work. I can stop the process at any time. Anytime. I can stop living for the Lord at any time. I can stop believing God for the things that he's promised and he's placed in my heart at any time. Anybody can. Just because I'm a Sunday school teacher don't mean I can't. Just because Scotty's a pastor don't mean he's got to show up for church. Don't mean he's got to let the word work out there. But if you're going to be entire with no defects, lacking nothing, see, there's some people, they got wrong things inside their heart. They got wrong thinking in their mind, and they never let the word of God get in there and stay in there and do that work, and now their foundation is wrong. See, when you see people when they say they're born again and they're in and out of church and they're tithing and they're not tithing and they're giving and they're not giving, what's wrong with them? Read the next verse. It ain't just because you need wisdom. How many knows anything you ask for the Lord? You must ask in faith and you must be persistent. Why? Everything don't happen overnight. Like this, for an example. Sandy, if I want an acorn tree, what do I got to do? I got to plant an acorn. And then this is what I do. I tell all y'all, step back, scoot back. The ground starts rumbling. Limbs and leaves start coming out. And here comes this big acorn tree about this big around. What, Johnny? Are you serious? Now, bless God, that's the way I want it. That's the way I'm going to believe for it. What are you going to believe for? You cannot believe anything past the Word, and the Word never promised you it'd be overnight. No. So if you really got faith, you got to have some Word. And if there's no Word, you can't really believe that. I cannot believe that I plant an acorn today and 5 minutes later, it's a major oak tree. I cannot. Why? That's not the process. There's seed time and harvest. And while that tree is growing, guess what's happening to it? Here comes Hurricane Ivan. It's about this high. Y'all not saying nothing. Here comes the storms. Here comes the floods. Here comes the Arctic blast cold like we had about 3 or 4 days last year. Y'all remember that? Weird thing. Everybody just froze up. Then the year, you know, that Texas, what was it? Their power grid just froze up out there. All these things. That oak tree, if it is going to make a major oak tree, it's got to endure the wind. The storm, the rain, the stuff you tie on it. I got a tree at my house. Scotty tied it up because the storm was breaking, about to break some of the limbs, so he tied it up. You know what happened, Sandy? We forgot all about tying it up. Now it has a mold around it, and it has growed over most of that to where now you can't get it out. Bless God, that little tree's just enduring, ain't it? Saying nothing. But if that tree, these trees out here, I mean, you can't reach around them. Y'all know the ones talking right out here. You can't reach around them. I have no idea. Them trees is probably hundreds of years old. And I bet if they could talk, they could tell us some stories of the things that they have endured and that they have been through. Whenever they come and they trim off the limbs, I imagine trimming hurts to a tree. The tree's alive. Don't trimming hurt to you? Well, I don't know, I've never been trimmed. Yeah, that's the problem. We can tell it. But those trees out there, they have had to endure every hurricane that's come through here, every tornado that's come through here, every downpour of torrential rain, every cold, no matter how cold it got. It's had to endure all of that. But guess what? It has, and it's still there, and people out there, they get to enjoy the shade of it. See, when you do, people get to come enjoy your shade. God gets the glory, amen. But I wrote this down. Let patience work. I can stop the process at any time. But if I do, I'm going to have defects. That's what I said. There's people out there that they never got in there and stayed in there with the Lord. So we got people, they change churches like some change underwear. Y'all not saying nothing. How convenient. Nobody knows whether you're at church or not. Come on now. How convenient nobody knows whether you're enduring anything or not. How convenient that when you're like in a marriage, you get tired. I know y'all ain't got there yet. I hope you never do. I just come through a thing a couple weeks ago. I told Scotty, I said, listen, I've been married 38 years, been with this man almost 40. And whoo, has it been something else at times. It's been good, bad, ugly, and everything else. Even with Jesus. See, I have to be just raw with y'all, and I don't like that because I don't like people knowing my business. But you get up here, God just makes you just spill it all. Why? For example, I reckon for everybody else to not do the dumb things that you've done. And I told him, I said, listen, he hates it when I say brutally honest. He wants me to say honest. But anyway, I told him, I said, listen, I said, we got to do something here. And he's always, you know, I done been on this for a while. And he's like, looks up over his glasses. What are you talking about? Because he don't have a problem. I said, listen, I said, I love you. I said, but I endure you. And I'm telling you this with all honesty in my heart, in love. I'm telling you this. I love you, but I'm enduring you. I said, and you're enduring me. I said, I don't want to endure you. I don't want to tolerate you. I want to enjoy you. I want you to enjoy me. Now, how many knows that's okay when we get married? We don't got to work on enjoying each other, do you? You suck my iron, I suck yours, and it's just a wonderful life. I was going to say, how many knows, but y'all don't know unless I tell you. Our honeymoon night, he's in the motel and I'm sitting on top of the car on the hood. This is honeymoon night. Why? I'm hungry. I'm 14 years old. We're in the middle of Oneonta and I can't drive nowhere because I ain't got no license. Now, I do drive, but not in Oneonta, you know, because the fuzz, they just out everywhere, you know. So you don't drive in Oneonta. And I'm hungry and he won't get out of the bed and go get me something to eat. So I'm sitting on the hood and he's in the motel room. This is how my marriage started. God bless America, and he does. But I'm telling you, this is how it started. But over the years, churches, just like being married, I mean, Jesus himself made the analogy. Husbands, love your wives as Christ so loved the church. That's a sacrificial office that you guys hold as a husband. Because Jesus sacrificed it all for us. But just like a church, how many knows, if you've been here long, we have experienced it here. We got highs, woo, if we had chandeliers, we'd be swinging from them. We've had lows to where you come in here and I said, oh, God, somebody have some anointing somewhere because I sure don't need it. Y'all not saying nothing. Maybe y'all don't experience, I do. Now, I'm not a roller coaster Christian, but how many knows, in marriage, it is the same thing, baby. The same thing. If you want a harvest of enjoying each other, what you got to do? You're going to have to plant some seed. Because See, the devil used to tell me when we would have problems, different things like that, you know, or whatever. I don't have to endure this. Bless God, I was hunting a man when I found you, and I ain't never had no problem. Y'all not saying nothing. But I didn't want another man. So what you got today? There's things you got to change. But see, there's people, they'll pray and pray. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. Well, he's trying to. Just like church, it's just like a marriage. So I told him, you know, I never say it the first time. Now, maybe that's the first time I ever put it that way. Then you got other times in marriage, especially when you've been married a long time. How many of those things creep in? Time, whatever it might be, needs of other people, different ministry, different things or whatever. But over a period of time, things can creep in. There's times that I've told him, listen, I don't like this. I don't need another brother. Y'all not saying nothing. I know y'all ain't got there yet. I hope you never do. You know, y'all just stay the way you are. But how many knows, if you're going to stay married and you're going to have a good marriage, you must, good ground, make adjustments and adaptations all along the way, or you won't be married long. There's a lot of people been married 30, 40 years, and once their kids get out of the house and out of college, they divorce. Why? They got no relationship. They've not made the adjustments all along the way. So what they do? Well, I was hunting one when I found you, bless God, and I'll just go get me another one. Y'all not saying nothing. I'm talking to the church, right? I'm talking to the saved, right? Those that got the love of God, right? Why we got so many divorces in the church. Listen, if you have been divorced, I am not trying to down you or nothing. But how many knows? The buck better stop now. Because I know people personally, they are on their third, fourth, and fifth marriage and are divorced now. How many times you going to keep doing that? Get a clue, hello, let your elevator go up. You got problems. There's something wrong with you. I just picked the wrong one. Well, why? There's a reason why you keep picking them deadbeats that ain't no count that you find in the bar, but then you want to bring them in the church and sing the glory, hallelujah. Y'all not saying nothing. I told y'all Ron Carpenter go come out. Woo! But I can stop at any time. I can divorce him any time I want to. Any time I choose to. Now, will I be right? No. I'm going to get to your stuff in a minute. I'm on mine right now. I told you I'm going to have to cut you, so if you're ready. So all along the way, we have to make these adjustments. All along the way in the church, Sandy, the whole body and the individual must make adjustments or you'll be gone. Because why? You come in the door and it's one of them days that everybody's just had a hard day going through. Ain't nobody prayed up. Y'all not saying nothing. And it is, and the devil's here. Now, God, I felt better before I went to church than I do right now. Listen, I'm just going to tell y'all the way it is. I'm sure y'all never felt that way before. I hope you never have. I have. I've been better off before I got to church than when I left church. And how many knows you're going to have to make adjustments? You're going to have to stay during those times. Because see what a lot of people like to do? Woo! Glory, hallelujah. Y'all got something for my kids, you know. Y'all going to help me pay my bills and all this other stuff, you know. God's called me here and all this. But the minute that it comes to where they're going to have to do a little fasting, God forbid you ask them to tote a box or keep the nursery. I'm telling you. I think we'll go over here. Or you just don't see them no more. You know what happens? They stop the process. There's something on the inside of you when you do that crap that is wrong. You got defects on the inside of you. And God is trying to help you to tell you, stay. Stay right here. I put you here. You know I put you here. So now you stay here. Y'all not saying nothing. You stay here. And you let it work. Well, I don't like what so-and-so done. That's why you're here. When did God tell you you're going to like everything he does? I mean, like I said last week, we got all different types of people, all different types of personalities, skin color, one likes chocolate. Ben Scotty, listen, if you ain't married and you ever thinking about it, you better hear what I'm about to tell you. A lot of people, they base when they're looking at their mate, are they compatible? Oh, we both like chocolate ice cream. Bless your little heart. You're going to need something more, deeper than chocolate ice cream. I like chocolate ice cream. Scotty likes vanilla. And what is that? Black walnut. I can't stand that junk. Ugh! Just make you want to... Anyway. Most things, naturally, me and him are not compatible. Y'all better hear what I'm telling you. See, it don't make no difference whether she likes chocolate or vanilla. What matters is, does she love and serve God, and do you love and serve God? Because you better agree on the things that is on the inside of you around the Word. Because if not, baby, that chocolate ice cream's going to run out, and you got problems. How are we going to raise our kids? What church we going to? Are we going to tithe? Are we not going to tithe? But we like to pick them because they make us feel good. Y'all don't say nothing. Let me tell you something, honey. They ain't always going to make you feel good. So I wrote this down. We have to stop the running. We have to stop the running out of the process if we're going to bring forth fruit to maturity and glory to God. Now here we go. Y'all have heard the story back 2008-09, around in there somewhere, that we got in a mess. Scotty had credit. We had good credit, you know. We had a house. We had two or three vehicles. We owed for everything that we had, making payments on everything we had. And during this time, he does garage doors on the credit. Well, things happened. Economy changed. We got behind on the money we should pay the door company. Some people did not pay us, you know, after the 30 days so we could pay the pay. So it got us in a mess. Our choices and some of their choices. So it got us in a mess. Y'all have heard the story. Well, during this time, this thing goes on till we get 3 months behind, or almost 3 months behind on our house, and are about 3 months behind. They've sent letters fixing to start what's called accelerated foreclosure. Y'all have heard the story. Well, lo and behold, during this time, I am rebuking D till my rebuker has just wore out. Because it never crossed my mind, Sandy, this could possibly be God. Y'all better hear what I'm about to tell you. So all this is going on. We have rebuked. We have been tithers. All that we're standing on the Word. And nothing is changing. Nothing is working. Now remember what I told you. The Word says that he, through every temptation. How many knows it's a temptation to go in debt? Oh, good Lord, help us, Jesus. Y'all ought to be louder about that. It's a temptation when you're there and your back is against the wall and you can't see another way. Scotty goes to that service. Brother Brad prays for him. Knows absolutely nothing because we didn't tell nobody. I didn't tell my mama nobody. Can't nobody help us out of this but God. Why? God's got us here at this Red Sea, Sandy. Why? He wants to take us to the promised land, but something's got to work in us. Goes to that service. Brother Brad prays for him, and he tells him. He says, Brother Scotty, he said, I don't know what this means. He said, but I see you in quicksand, and this quicksand is God. I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. Every time they went the wrong way in the Old Testament, what happened? Here come their enemies, taking them right into captivity. God won't bless you going the wrong way. He can't. He's faithful to his word, and he's not going to allow you to be defective on the inside. He goes, so we agreed to pay the lawyer. I had no idea, Sandy, how we're going to pay this lawyer. We can't order any more garage doors. They want their money. We owe them thousands of dollars. We are behind on everything we got. We got Travis is 16 years old. I am pregnant in 2008. All this stuff is going on all at one time. And God says, pay them. But we're like, God, we can't lie. I don't have it. I can't pay them. God says, pay them. Agree. The Bible says, agree with your adversary quickly. Scotty agrees. You know what happened? Y'all have heard the story. Now, we could have changed. We could have went bankrupt. Oh, y'all not saying nothing. With every temptation to run to the bank, with every temptation to go to the pawn shop, with every temptation, y'all don't say nothing, to run to the divorce lawyer. Let patience work, and with every temptation, I make a way of escape. You might not see the way, but do you realize that's what faith is? It trusts. It believes God in the very face of all adversity, no matter what. Scotty goes, y'all have heard the story. Scotty goes down there to Anna. I didn't even know he was doing it. Goes to the law, see a lawyer down there in Anna about bankruptcy. And the lawyer, he tells him all the stuff and everything. The lawyer tells, you got no choice, Mr. Weston. When he said that, Sandy, something happened on the inside of Scotty. You always got a choice. And if you are ever in a place that you feel like you don't have a choice, you are not in faith. You're not. Why? He always makes a way of escape, don't he? Lo and behold, when he said that, that something hit Scotty. He got up and he went outside. And on the very sidewalk, he said, God, I am sorry that I am turning to the weak and beggarly elements of this world, God. And the devil's telling him, he's about to divorce me. Go to California, start a garage door business, and send me money after he's put everything in my name. And I didn't know he was going to do that, but God is faithful. God let it come out to me one day, and I told him, I said, it's a good thing you didn't. I said, because I would have never believed that was the reason why you divorced me. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. You don't have to get a divorce. Now, I didn't say your mate can't divorce you. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. There's no reason I ever have to divorce him, Sandy. Why? God always makes the way of escape. There's nothing with the love of God I cannot forgive. The Bible says, to him that what? Overcometh. Y'all not saying, to him that overcometh. What's that mean? That means you got to get to this rock in a hard place, believe God, and overcome it. Well, lo and behold, we made the agreement to pay the people, pay the lawyer. We still have no clue how we're going to do this because we are not going bankrupt. The Bible says having a good name is rather to be chosen than fine gold and silver, and God had helped us make that good name, Sandy. Now, had we have went bankrupt, guess what would have happened? There would have been no garage door business, which was the will of God. Y'all not saying nothing. I would not have my house. I would not have my vehicles. We probably wouldn't still be here in this church. Travis would not be in the garage door business making the moolah he makes. He'd be at Walmart. That one decision would have changed the course of our entire lives. I would not be debt free in my house giving glory to God if we had made another choice, but we didn't run. We let that word work. I've got to stop because time is up. We let that word work. So I'm here to encourage you this morning. It may seem long. It may seem hard. But hang on, baby. Let it work, and you will get your 100-fold. I got to stop because time is up. Does anybody have anything quickly they'd like to share or say?